love don't have any place. We're living in times where men commit crimes, and crime don't have a face. We live in a political world, icicles hanging down, wedding bells ringing, angels singing, clouds cover up the ground. We live in a political world, wisdom is thrown into jail, it rots in a cell misguided as hell, leaving no one to pick up the trail. We live in a political world where mercy walks the plank. Life is in mirrors, death disappears up the steps of you, the nearest bay. We live in a political world. Courage is a thing of the past. Houses are haunted, children are unwanted. Your next day could be your last. We live in a political world, the one we can see and feel, but there's no one to check, it's all a stacked deck. We all know for sure that it's real. We live in a political world, the cities of a lonesome fear. Little by little, you turn to the middle, but you're never sure why you're here. Political world under the microscope. You can travel anywhere and hang yourself there. You always got more than enough room. We live in a political world, turning in a thrashing about. As soon as you awake, you're trained to take what looks like the easy way out.
I said the world need love like never before. People are hurting and killing people. People they don't even know. like the forest need the rain. The world need love, yeah, like the forest need the rain. And stop all the suffering and heartache. Heartache. Heartache and pain. Never seen. Yes, I said the world need love like you never seen. How the hell can some people so damn mean? Somebody needs to tell me.
Hello, everyone. We are here at Nectar Island. My name is Raphael. I'm hijacked the show with Simon and Steve.
Boa noite.
Yeah.
Good evening.
So we don't have Christian or Charlotte here, but we are doing it anyway.
Yeah, and why not? Keep the show on the road. We've had a month off, haven't we?
So true. So we have just listened to Bob Dylan, Political World, and the Buddy Guy new song, The World Needs Love. So, yeah.
Yep. So what are you trying to say with those music choices?
I don't know. Right. I didn't try to say anything, but it is saying something, I think.
I think so. Right. Yeah. Well, let the music speak for itself, right?
True. And an election, there was an election in Brazil last weekend, and things are kind of crazy. So I think the world needs love again.
What's the outcome?
We're going to have like a second round between Lula and Bolsonaro. And so it's going to be... Yeah, tough.
Yeah. What's the prediction?
The prediction is Lula is winning so far, but the other side is kind of, you know, it's violent in the sense of like politically violent in a just like he calls himself the Latin Trump, so yeah. We all know what that means, I think.
we can leave it there, right?
Yeah, true. So how are you guys doing?
You're very good, you know. It's we kind of came off the back of the summer. Mm-hmm. And coming into, I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a revisit of summer today. The sun was out.
True.
It was a busy summer. Missed the last month, unfortunately, because we're all away. But you're doing all right, you know. I can't complain. I feel like the world is really, in some ways, it's very, very disjointed and very strange. But also in other ways, kind of, it seems a little bit more back to normal.
Okay.
You know, just kind of day-to-day routine. Being around, doing things, being with friends.
No masks.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it is. It's a very uncertain, head-scratching time of the world at the moment, I think.
Yeah, but I think you had a point there. Like, it is not feeling as bad as before. I don't know if you got used to it. so now you're kind of like, all right, so that's the new normal. Or if it's kind of like, the pandemic is over. And things are coming, I don't know.
Well, I got to say, in terms of, it was an odd experience that 2 weeks ago I had to attend a hospital. Okay. And you know, at the hospital, you still have to wear a mask. And having not worn it for some time, I was really a strange experience to kind of think that you have to, you know, that I had to put on a mask again. And it did kind of, I won't say kind of gave me flashbacks, but it was a rather odd experience after a period of time when we haven't had to do it.
But I think hospitals are never going back to normal. I think like the masks in hospitals makes kind of sense because
broader than COVID, it probably does make sense. Yeah. I don't want your germs. You know what I mean?
I had a horrendous hacking cough the other day, and you know it wasn't. That's the other thing that's changed. You have a cough, you go to a group of people, you cough, you go, it's not COVID. I've tested. Like it's a new level of etiquette that you have to go through just to sort of reassure people that if you are coughing, it's just a cold. But it did make me think, is these kind of, when I was in Japan, you know, the Japanese way is that if you have a cold, you wear a mask because you don't want to spread your germs. And that seems quite a sensible thing to do.
Not to sound controversial here, but I'm still not convinced.
Please be controversial.
I'm still not convinced that people in this country are wearing masks because they believe that will make sure they don't give germs to other people. I think people wear masks in this country predominantly because they think it will protect them from getting something.
Oh yeah, for sure. You think it's an egotistical 100%. Impulse.
Yes.
And then there are also the people that wear the masks to hide their identities, and you see that all the time.
Yes, true.
You know, middle of a hot day, you know, guys with hats on and like hood up and like masks on. I'm sure they're
You're talking about the young boys in their balaclavas trying to look like roadmen, yeah?
Yeah, I'm not convinced that they're trying to protect themselves from COVID.
So no. What have you been doing like socializing lately? Like have you been more to the movies or theaters or anything like that?
So we would, you know, we were on holiday with a big group of friends to the south of Italy. And, you know, we were, you know, we're out and about in restaurants and, you know, it wasn't even on the radar in southern Italy, you know, at all. But yeah, you know, we've been out to bars and, you know, it's just normal. I mean, I tell you what you notice is, I've noticed as soon as you go out of London into sort of small towns and the likes, is some pubs are still doing table service. Some people are still, you know, offering that kind of comfort to people, whereas we're kind of just used to it. We're used to, you know, in London just being packed in together and just having to, you know, having to live like battery hens.
Yes, true. I think I'm looking forward to the London Film Festival because it's now that things are back to normal in a sense, like you can socialize more, like go to the cinemas and watch the movies and whatever. I'm going to go tomorrow. But it started yesterday and is going to the next Sunday, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of good stuff. A lot of like good filmmakers, people. You know, like things like get back to its old form in a sense.
What have you got your eye on in terms of films to watch?
I don't know. Films really kind of like I'm curious to watch White Noise by Noah Baumbach because they say that it was kind of like it is an adaptation from a novel that they say was it was impossible to make into a movie. I want to see if he made it. And then I'm going to listen to him because there's going to be kind of like a director session afterwards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's always good. Like, I always like to go and then see the Q&A and then kind of like examine the creative process of the film. How was it made? And
why did they believe it was so unmakeable?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I haven't read anything else but that, because I don't want to go. I always avoid kind of reading the reviews before going to the movie, because that affects you in many ways, you know. If the reviews are bad, you already go with kind of like, okay, so this is not.
I'm with you, Raphael. I do like those kind of the director kind of question and answer sessions that they have after the movies. I think they're kind of really insightful in terms of getting close to the process, and actually a little story to tell that Simon and I actually did something like this summer, which ties to our radio show, which is on next, in that a very influential DJ called Laurent Garnier, who's been around for years and years and years. So we went to go see the documentary of kind of his career. And then there was a question and answer session after the documentary, both with him and the director. And so Laurent Garnier is this big, you know, club dance music DJ. And one of the most fascinating things was that the director, who, you know, has to be at least 30, 40, something like that, prior to meeting Laurent Garnier, had never been to a nightclub. And it was like the first time I went to a nightclub was like, or any, you know, a dance music environment was like the first time I met, like, was the first time was with Laurent Garnier. And that was, I just thought that was pretty interesting. And I think what resonated with me about the style of the documentary was that the filmmaker didn't necessarily fall into that trap of subscribing to, well, the music is very fast and repetitive, so I'm just going to use lots of fast cuts. Uh-huh. And he, in fact, he went quite the opposite. Everything he kind of had these long shots of people dancing, but in slow motion, and used kind of some like slow music and some ambient music, which I just thought was a really cool juxtaposition.
Well, what's the name of the documentary? Remember,
I'm stumped now. I'm honestly stumped as to the actual name. So hopefully, Simon,
I'll find a picture of us. We took a picture of ourselves in front of the movie poster. Okay.
but I just thought it was an interesting way to kind of do. You know, I like when you kind of, you know, the way in which the movie is made is a little bit at odds or a little bit different with some of the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, you know, it would have been real easy just to kind of go with really fast cuts and, you know, maybe some repetition and things like that.
Yeah, there's so many ways to tell a different story. And that's kind of like the creative process enters in that aspect, because it's never going to be the same movie. Even like, because we always talk about directors, right? Because they are kind of like calling the shots. But I know for a fact that movies change by, like, if you change one person from the crew, it changes the whole environment. It changes the set. You can change your movie.
Well, yeah, and the executive producers like to change the movie as well. So,
no, that's
I gotta be honest. As history dictates, sometimes for the best.
Of course, no, yeah, and I think, sometimes, but it's rare in a sense of like, because I think now, like, I have done a script development course 2 weeks ago, and we are kind of like all talking about business plans and movies and what movie. Like, what kind of movie do you want to make to make the box office or whatever, blah, 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 and to pay itself. So it's all a business, right? Like, in a sense, like, cinema, as like music, is an industry. So people kind of like, they try to quantify it. But at the same time, the greatest cinema there ever was, it was unpredictable all the way. You know, you can say like, okay, so there are Marvel movies like Spider-Man 9 or whatever, and that makes a lot of money. But in a hundred years' time, you're never gonna, you know, people are not gonna be talking about that movie. They're gonna be talking about movies that kind of like break the pattern, and they're gonna be talking about like Nirvana, for instance. You know, I always comes to my mind that nobody would bet that Nirvana would be Nirvana before the launching, in a sense, like grunge will become a stadium kind of thing.
Yeah. No, agreed.
Yeah.
But But I guess that now that you're kind of talking about directors, so to kind of go back to your point about you know, what we've been doing. So as I was kind of saying off air, I've never seen Avatar before. And it's been re-released in the cinemas in 3D. And I got to say, I would, if you've not seen it before, I'd recommend doing it. It was clearly made for the big screen. It was clearly made for 3D. From a technical standpoint, as I was, it's probably the best, most natural 3D movie I've ever seen in terms of just feeling comfortable. I went with my daughter, who felt the same. She, you know, she was not too interested in seeing something in three dimensions, but she, having seen things before, not really liked it. Mm-hmm. But it, to her, it felt really kind of natural in terms of the 3D experience. So that, from a technical standpoint, you know, it's pretty incredible. And the world building that they do, you know, and the, just the amount of detail and things that they kind of go to, again, really, really impressive. But one thing struck me, and I guess in terms of thinking about a director's director's vision, was, you know, that I couldn't help but, directed by James Cameron, I couldn't help but think the parallels, or that this movie in some way is talking to an earlier movie of his, Aliens. So the second installment in the Alien series, and that the overall narrative of both of those movies is extremely similar, because it both revolves around humans going to another planet and extracting something from that planet, a mineral or something to help them. In Aliens, it's very much told from the human side, and that they encounter these aliens that then like to want to kill them, and we're rooting for the humans. Avatar, completely the opposite. So kind of interesting.
No, I think that, like you said about it, 3D, because we are kind of fed up with 3D now, because it's a technology that has been overused in the wrong way. Because I think, like, Avatar is one movie that kind of like, it asks for 3D, you know, like it feels natural. It feels kind of like, okay, this movie has a point of being made in three dimensional, because the guy plugs himself into a suit, and there's all this kind of meta sense of the storytelling. Just like I remember seeing Hugo, you know, like from Scorsese. Have you watched it? It's a 3D movie as well. Like, so
the, no, I've not seen it.
I think the only one that Scorsese did, I think it was really well done as well. The kind of like the way he used the technology in favor of the movie, and not just for selling kind of like pricier tickets.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Like, you go to see Spider-Man in 3D, there's like stunts, but that doesn't add anything to the movie. There's just like a roller coaster, and that's just kind of like to make the ticket more expensive in a way. Yeah. And Avatar is different in that sense.
So it'll be interesting to see the next one, which is essentially Avatar underwater, from what I can tell from the trailer.
It has been like 15 years in the making, I think.
Something. Really? So he's been working on it?
Yeah, I think he had, like, the story goes that he had the story before, like, he had the story for a trilogy. So, yeah. But when he made Avatar 1, he didn't have the technology to make the second one. So he had to wait for the technology to come by, and then it took
surely
like
after
10
a
years.
15 year process the technology changes so much during those 15 years that you're constantly
you know
what,
and it is a big risk. It's like Chinese democracy from
that's
the Guns
exactly
Roses.
What I was gonna say. Let's hope it's not Chinese democracy.
It's impossible to kind of like, you know, to fulfill this expectation for 15 years. Yeah. Just like the last Matrix. Oh my god, have you seen the last Matrix?
No, I've heard it's awful.
It's awful. It's kind of like it ruined everything. But for like you know, it's hard because they are the same characters, so I could never go back to Matrix. I have to forget that I've seen
the last
one.
It's killed the whole lot.
It kills the whole lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
but I think that's that speaks to what you were just saying in terms of unfortunately the industry of movie making. It's even more just about retreading old ground and extracting as much as you can from characters people already know and storylines people already know, because they know that it will make some money. Yeah. You know, they will make some money out of it by kind of retreading that old ground, or, you know, going off onto a tangent but still within that kind of world. So
I think like the only hope that I have is that we are coming to a breaking point, and it's like people are going to like they just just going to be kind of like sick of the same movie over and over again, because Marvel movies, superhero movies, are the same structure. They're the same kind of like, there are no risk in it. And people love it. But I think just like happened with musicals in the 60s, you know, like American music is like Singing in the Rain. Everybody loved it. But then suddenly people changed their perspective. And then the movie industry had to like give money to some crazy kids that, and then Chinatown, and then good things started happening again, you know, mm-hmm. because they kind of lost power over the creation of things, I think. So we are talking about creativity. We are going to have a guest here, Benjamin Pollock, a musician, a very good one. And Lionel is going to call us, I think, from OpenSea, I think. I hope.
Is he in the middle of the ocean?
Yeah.
As always, sailing away.
I have visited him, like, you know, right? Like in August. We have been there in Lisbon.
Tell me, what is this drink? The drink I've seen you guys chatting with.
Ginginha. Come on, it's great. Lionel kind of like he had it before. I never had it before meeting him there. But we just drank a lot of ginginha. And
Is it a spirit? Is it a?
How can I say that? It's kind of like, it's something that you drink as a, you know, liquor.
Yeah.
You know, it's very sweet. I think it's cherry flavored. That's why like ginger is cherry in Portuguese. But it's really good and it's really strong. So you drink like you drink one and say like, okay, so this is sweet. This doesn't affect me. And then you drink two and drink three, and then you're done.
All I can get in my mind is that it like tastes like cough syrup or something like that.
Yeah,
that sickly sweet kind of syrup, but with alcohol in it.
You know, like Jägermeister. So it's dangerous.
Sounds like the scissor.
I'm gonna take some. You know what? Maybe on our Christmas night out, you can introduce us to that. Maybe that's the way, what we need to do.
And we'll bring a bottle of Benadryl and compare.
Cool. Yeah. I have a bottle. I'm gonna save it for Christmas drinks. All right. Cool. We hope Lionel didn't like drink too many ginginhas to forget about his commitment with us. He's gonna be live soon with us. I think we're gonna play some music now, and then we're gonna come back with Lionel and Benjamin Pollock, the musician. All right.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Vocês se meteram numa grande encrenca. Não é porque a galera tá fumando demais, cara. Ah, desde que eu nasci que eu fumo.
Eu canto assim porque eu fumo maconha. Adivinha quem tá de volta explorando a sua vergonha. Eu sou melhor no microfone, não dou mole pra ninguém. Porque o Planet Ramp ainda gosta da Meredith. Por favor, não me trate como marginal. Se o papo for por aí, já começamos mal. Quer me prender só porque eu fumo cannabis sativa. Na cabeça ativa, na cabeça ativa. Na cabeça ativa, isso te incomoda. Eu falo, peço, grito, isso pra você é foda. Mente aguçada, meu irmão. Eu sei que isso te espanta, mas eu continuo queimando tudo até a última ponta. Eu continuo queimando tudo até a última ponta. Eu continuo queimando tudo. Até a última ponta, continuo queimando tudo 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 até a última ponta.
Isso pesado, sinistro, como o sol que vem sendo quando tô preso em preto e branco, como em Dalbaló, procurando e destruindo falsos MCs, nocivos como os governantes do nosso país. Minha família quer tudo, como quem não quer nada. O estilo é livre, ninguém pode pará-la, nada mais, nada menos é. Eu tô sabendo, Black Alien vai rimando, queimando, sobrevivendo. Se é o caso, queima a casa, me livro do rato. Negozinho, se liga, que eu não vou deixar barato, então dê dois.
Qual é?
O que você me conta?
Eu continuo queimando tudo até a última ponta.
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 É porque a galera tá fumando demais, cara.
Veja as pupilas dilatadas, é a mente trabalhando. Eu não vou te fazer nada dos efeitos da fumaça sonora. E não se esqueça, Planet Ramp.
Fazendo sua cabeça
MARCE.
Chechong. Não adianta, a armadilha, meu irmão, não cai. E muito menos cabeça de pop é para raio de aguçada, meu irmão. Eu sei que isso te espanta, mas eu continuo queimando tudo até a última bomba.
Eu continuo queimando tudo até a última bomba.
Beethoven said on his deathbed, you know, said, I've learned to look at the world in all of its darkness and evil and still love it. This is where Chekhov begins. This is where the blues starts. My kind of blues begins with catastrophe. It begins with the angel of history and Benjamin Stiesel. See, it begins with the power to wreckage on one power on another. That's the starting point. Fundamental. Philosophy must go to school not only with the poets, philosophy needs to go to school with the musicians.
Hello? Are we live?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Cool. Yeah, Lionel.
Hello.
We are here with Lionel Shawat, ladies and gentlemen, and he is calling us from the open sea, right?
Yeah, of course. Open sea.
Okay.
Back in the park of Carlos Lopez. I'm preparing myself for the half marathon on Sunday. So, yeah, not on the sea, but on the firm, earth.
We were talking before about gingias. Have you been drinking a lot of gingias lately?
I thought about you, indeed. it was the last one was 2 days ago, so not that far.
Oh, okay, cool. That's good.
We've been hearing about these cherry monstrosities.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not convinced. I'm really not convinced.
No, we have to.
They are the best one.
We're gonna drink like it's already agreed that we're gonna drink it at Christmas party. Jing is gonna be the drink of the night.
What I would like to do is arrange a Christmas drink in Lisbon and to drink a Jing at Christmas. That would be great.
But even better.
That feels like the right thing to do, but sadly out with my reach.
Yeah. I'm talking big right now. It's easy to say it's a nice idea, but yes, it's not gonna happen.
How are you doing, Lionel?
Good to hear your voice.
And yours, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Just a Parisian friend came to visit and invite me to go see his club, Catarian Club. I even can't pronounce the name. PSG. The clubs have to be a spy as a Marseille guy to go to the Benfica football stadium.
So
it was fun.
Good. And sorry, did you say you were running a marathon?
No, I did run a marathon.
He ran a marathon.
You did, and I'm sorry that I said that in such a surprised voice. That's pretty rude of me.
No, I know. With all the Jinjinia, actually, it's the Jinjinia who gave me the power.
Yeah, the Jinjinia power,
Okay.
All the secrets about the Jinjinia. This time, because I was like knocked out last time, I said, okay, I'm going to go for the half marathon. Half marathon sounds good enough for me.
Could the Gene Genie be considered performance enhancing?
What was your time? What was your half marathon time?
Oh, no. The half marathon is going to be on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
The marathon last year was more than 5 hours. 5 hours and maybe 10, 20 minutes. Yeah, let's say 10.
It's good.
Over 5 hours.
It's good. No injuries after it. No, how are your knees? I went for a meeting with a customer on Wednesday, and he came down the stairs. I mean, he was literally hobbling. I mean, he was fully hobbling down.
Oh, the marathon.
And he did the marathon just last weekend, and he popped his cartilage collapsed on him, and he finished. He said he said he couldn't believe the power of the crowd and the desire to finish when people were just egging him on. He said it was incredible, and it made him do it. But I mean, I'm sure he'll never walk again. But
I think Lionel can speak for about this kind of this feeling. Like it's really different to run when you have like a lot of people running with you. How does it feel, Lionel?
What you said, Simon, is I'm not a runner. I don't like to run. It's just because of a friend, but it's getting me fit. Let's say, brother. Usually I do, if I do something, it's like 5 kilometers or 3-4 miles. But with the crowd around you, 10 kilometers went like, I wouldn't say easy, but much easier than I thought. So the crowd effect definitely helps.
Okay, so you ran through the finish line because you have been supported by everyone and with Jinjinga in the body.
I know exactly. Right. I was like even walking at the end, so I couldn't even run. But you have to finish.
Crawling, dragging yourself over the line.
You have to finish. I'll send you a picture. Hobbling on the floor.
That's cool. So, Lionel, we have just heard The End of History by Benjamin Pollock. Have been to his show there. That's how we met him.
With our story. We played tennis together with Benjin.
Right.
And actually, after a game, he told us, oh, can we came to have a tea after the match? We went to his place. His place was a boat in St. Catherine Docks. So yeah, here we go. And we went sailing together on his boat. And here we are. So yeah, he's a beautiful and marvelous musician. So hopefully you like the K2K, like what they hear.
No, yeah, I've heard like three songs that he sent me before, and it's really, it's amazing. It's kind of, and I think like it's his ninth album, right? Like so it's kind of like he's experienced. Cool.
But it's like his own project this time, sometimes like collaboration. This one is his own production, everything done by himself.
So he's also a sailor like you.
He's more like, but definitely he learned me. So yeah, definitely.
What sort of boat?
Actually, always a link, because on his boat, I used to project a lot of movies. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Really a great collection, cinema, everything.
Just
so
I'm clear.
What about you and your? Yeah, tell me.
Just so I'm clear, did he sail his boat from St. Catherine's Dock to Lisbon?
One of my friends did. But it's another friend. But the barge boat from Beijing, it's mainly from Colchester. I go from indeed London, from St. Catherine's Dock to Colchester and all on the east coast.
Along the coast. Okay, I understand.
We were talking before about the London Film Festival, and we forgot to mention that Lionel is one of the stars of the festival. So because his movie is going to premiere. Yeah, it's going to premiere.
Is it?
Yes. Knives Out 2, The Glass Onion, is going to premiere, I think, on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Lionel?
Because I'm the star, I didn't get the invite for the premiere, but sounds weird. Maybe my PA is going to tell me something on the last minute when I will be finishing my half marathon. So yeah,
they're going to fly you in for it, I'm sure.
I have seen the trailer, and it looks pretty cool. Looks pretty cool. I haven't got tickets because, you know, like I'm not as important as you are.
What is it? Knives Out? Was it
Knives Out? I think The Glass Onion, right, Lionel? Like the name of the movie.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Knives Out. Knives Out 2, The Glass Onion. Yeah.
Okay.
Glass Onion.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you and Brazil 2002? Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. It's cool, man. It's gonna like it's going well, I think. So this movie, I have worked in this documentary.
Yeah.
Called Brazil 2002: The Real Story.
Yeah.
And it just opened in Brazil, like, on Netflix. So it's premiering on Netflix in Brazil yesterday, I think. Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah.
And it has been getting like good reviews and people are watching. So that's really cool.
So yeah. what's the premise?
No, so it's a documentary about the World Cup in 2002.
That's right. I remember you talking about it. Yes.
Yeah. I remember it. Like, yeah. So I was an assistant producer on this one.
Okay.
And so we went to Brazil. We stayed there for 3 months doing interviews and then all around Europe. And it's on Netflix Brazil. It's going to be on Sky here.
Yeah.
In UK, Sky Italy. And now around like the word at FIFA Plus, I think other streaming platforms.
Awesome.
And we had a red carpet last week. It was great. It's kind of like the director came. The director is Luis Aras, he's Uruguayan. And then I got to meet Roberto Carlos.
Yeah.
And Lionel, I didn't know Lionel was such a big fan.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
can't hear you.
Yeah, okay.
Running. A lot of players have this legacy. Like if you talk about Nunez in Spain, or even Marcelo was in Real Madrid, or so many right back or left back tech from Roberto Carlos. His striker. He was a striker before anyone. Wow.
Yeah.
The luck to see him like Cafu too, man. The legends,
yeah, man. And I think like so we did this documentary and now it's kind of like it's people are watching and people are remembering, because there's kind of like this nostalgic feeling to look back and see like Brazil in 2002. It was more hopeful than it is today, in a sense of like, okay, so we won the World Cup, yep. then we had kind of like, you know, we had progress in a sense, and now it's kind of like but I don't know, I think it's a good it's a good thing to remember that we can be, you know, united as a country, even even if it's like because of football.
Yeah. You know,
because
that's why a Uruguayan director?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know.
I think he's kind of like, but he's he did a documentary before about the football team in Brazil. I think he's really into Brazilian stuff.
You know, okay.
So I think his next project is gonna probably be in Brazil as well. So he does, and he does a lot of documentaries, and so yeah, he did like the right questions. It was cool to work with him.
Yeah,
but it is strange. It is strange to be like,
yeah, because it's such my experience of Latin Americans is there's a lot of rivalry between countries in Latin America. You know?
Oh yeah, but not Uruguay. Like Brazil and Uruguay, they love each other.
Yeah, okay.
Like if it was an Argentinian director, then it's gonna be Then
it might be a little bit different. Yeah.
Yes, that's not gonna be kind of like okay. So,
Everybody beats up on the Argentinians. I think.
Do you know the reasons for the connection between Uruguay and Brazil? Is there anything specific?
I think like this, especially like the south of Brazil, but I think like Uruguay we have like a lot of Uruguayan players that were successful in Brazil and were like became legends in their clubs.
Yep.
I think that's one of the reasons. The other one is I don't know. I think Uruguay is more for Brazil. It's kind of like we admire Uruguayans.
Okay.
In a sense of like, they're friendlier. I think that all comes from a sports perspective,
right,
actually,
okay.
Because I love Argentina. I have been in Buenos Aires, and I have Argentinian friends. But when it comes to football,
nah.
It's a war, man. The war's on. Yeah. but that's cool. You know, it's cool to hear your voice, man. Good to hear that you are safe.
How is Lisbon?
Well, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. What can I say? I'm all the time, and it's short. So it's October, and I can't complain.
Is this going to be your first winter in Lisbon? I can't. The time has just stood still in so many ways.
I spent 5 years ago a bit of time during winter. Actually, during my birthday, late November, December, in Lisbon. So it was a bit rainy, but still like a great weather. So let's see how it goes now.
If someone's coming to visit Lisbon, what do they have to do? What are the top five things you must do in Lisbon?
A good question.
Funny enough, I do a bit of surfing.
Yeah.
I did body surf a lot when I was long time ago. But now back to surfing. So pretty awesome. A bit of horse riding also. You know that I have horses, so
you got to see the graffiti.
So many stuff.
Yeah, true.
The graffiti is great in Lisbon.
And of course, the Gingenia.
You know, Lionel told me like when we were there that once in his birthday. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lionel, that he were horse riding in Sintra.
Sintra is beautiful.
Yeah, it's kind of like in middle of the castles and Lionel early morning horse riding in Sintra like a prince.
Yeah,
right? That's royalty for you.
Yeah, mist rising through the trees.
Yes,
well, we always knew Lino was straight royalty, man.
Yeah, it's true.
I can see the crown on your head, bro. I can see the crown on your head.
And don't forget to mention the pastel de nata and the market that we went to have sardinhas and stuff. Timeout market.
Different. The timeout market's amazing there. Yeah. And there was when we went, I can't remember, we went to a really traditional Portuguese seafood restaurant. Mm-hmm. So all the waiters are men and they're all kind of like in the, you know, all kind of dressed up, you know, the nines. Couldn't be more rude, to be perfectly honest. But I remember we walked in and they had these shrimp there that were the size of lobsters. I've never seen a shrimp like it in my life.
Lionel went there yesterday, I think. What's the name of the place, Leo? Like, you sent me the picture. Leo?
Which one?
The place that we went together, like the shrimps are like big shrimps and very traditional in Lisbon.
Seafood restaurant.
Actually, I went with a friend last night, Ramiro.
Ramiro.
I think that was it. But yeah, I remember we were like, yeah, can we get two of those shrimp? And the guy looked at us, he goes, you only need one. and guess what? He was right.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh man, I miss Lisbon. I miss you, Leonel. I miss Lisbon. When are you coming back? Do you plan to come to London soon?
Pretty soon, hopefully. Depends on the work they want me. In the premiere or not, pretty soon, hopefully.
Good.
All right. Cool. So do you want to? It's your show. Do you want to play some song, some Lisbon song to end the Nectar Island this special edition?
Yeah, give us your top songs that sum up your current mood in Lisbon.
Yeah,
we'll play a couple of tracks.
Let's say I went to see for me Roisin Murphy in Lisbon, and she blew my mind as she always does.
Roisin Murphy
in my playlist of the summer on the time in Lisbon. Because of Benjin, the artist, he made me rediscover a band called Iatus Coyote, and they released an album recently. And now it's like a Brazilian vibe, old school Martino da Vila.
Martino Vila,
is that?
Okay. So Leonel, I'm going to, because there are like elections in Brazil, because there are like Brazil World Cup, we're going to end this edition with two Brazilian songs. And one is going to be Martino da Vila. And the other one's going to be a political song because we need it.
Here we go.
All right.
And you can give us our off-mic translation of it.
Okay. I can sing in English. Leonel, so good to hear your voice, man.
Love you guys.
Okay.
Bisous.
See you soon.
See ya.
Ciao.
This
obrigado,
one.
Obrigado.
Merci. So we're going to play two songs. I'm going to look for San Martino da Vila. It's really good. And this next one is going to be Belchior, and I think I know someone that is listening right now that's going to love this one. All right,
cool. Peace out.
Presentemente eu posso me considerar sujeito de sorte, porque apesar de muito moço, me sinto são e salve forte. E tenho comigo pensado, Deus é brasileiro e anda do meu lado. E assim já não posso sofrer no ano passado. Tenho sangrado demais, tenho chorado pra cachorro. Ano passado eu morri, mas esse ano eu não morro. Tenho sangrado demais, tenho chorado pra cachorro. Ano passado eu morri, mas esse ano eu não morro. Ano passado eu morri, mas esse ano eu não morro. Mas esse ano eu não morro. Sangrado demais, tenho chorado pra cachorro.
que apesar de muito moço, me sinto são e salvo e forte. E tenho comigo pensado, Deus é brasileiro e anda do meu lado, e assim já não posso sofrer no ano passado. Tenho sangrado demais, tenho chorado pra cachorro. Ano passado eu morri, mas esse ano eu não morro. Tenho sangrado demais, tenho chorado pra cachorro. Ano passado eu morri, mas esse ano eu não morro. Ano passado eu morri, mas esse ano eu não morro. Ano passado eu morri, mas esse ano eu não morro.
Canta, canta, minha gente, deixa a tristeza pra lá. Canta forte, canta alto, que a vida vai melhorar.
Que a vida vai melhorar. Que a vida vai melhorar. Que a vida vai melhorar. Que a vida vai melhorar.
Cantem o samba de roda, o samba canção e o samba rasgado. Cantem o samba de breque, o samba moderno e o samba quadrado. Cantem ciranda ao frevo, o coco, machixe, baião e chachado. Mas não cante essa moça bonita, porque ela está com o marido do lado.
Canta, canta, minha gente, deixa a tristeza pra lá. Canta forte, canta alto, que a vida vai melhorar.
Canta bonita.
Canta, canta, minha gente, deixa a tristeza pra lá. Canta forte, canta alto, que a vida vai melhorar.
Que a vida vai melhorar.
Que a vida vai melhorar.
Mas a vida vai melhorar.
Que a vida vai melhorar.
Quem canta seus males espanta, lá em cima do muro, samba no asfalto. Eu canto um samba enredo, um sambinha lento e um partido alto. Há muito tempo não ouço o tal do samba sincopado. Só não dá pra cantar mesmo, é vendo o sol nascer quadrado.
Canta, canta, minha gente, deixa a tristeza pra lá. Canta forte, canta alto, que a vida vai melhorar.
Canta bonito.
Canta, canta, minha gente, deixa a tristeza pra lá.
Sem tristeza, sem tristeza.
A vida vai melhorar.
Mas é claro que vai melhorar.